Welcome to The Living Word with Chuck Davis.
First Samuel 4, 1-11, the presence of God. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines. They encamped at Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped at Aphek. The Philistines drew up in line against Israel, and when the battle spread, Israel was defeated before the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men on the field of battle. And when the people came to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord here from Shiloh, that it may come among us and save us from the power of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh and brought from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who was enthroned on the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. As soon as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel gave a mighty shout so that the earth resounded. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shouting, they said, "What does this great shouting in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" And when they learned the Ark of the Lord had come to the camp, the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "A god has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us! Who can deliver us from the power of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with every sort of plague in the wilderness. Take courage and be men, O Philistines, lest you become slaves to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and they fled, every man to his home. And there was a very great slaughter, for 30,000 foot soldiers of Israel fell. And the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. So much happening in this passage, we're not going to be able to adequately touch every piece, but the word of Samuel came to all Israel. There's an implied aspect. The word of the Lord came to Samuel, and then Samuel brought that word to all of Israel. There's an expansion of his ministry. The Israelites had long enemies, long historical enemies. Egypt, Babylon, Assyria, Philistines. The Philistines are going to play a significant role in the story of David. And we get to see here that when David comes on the scene, it feels like the Philistines have the upper hand. And the Ark of the Covenant now comes to play in the story. So the Israelites fight against the Philistines. They're defeated. And the response of the people is, "Why has the Lord defeated us today?" They have such a high view of the sovereignty of God that they feel like somehow the Lord has participated in this, in their failure. The Ark of the Covenant was this ark or chest. There's 200 references in the Old Testament. It's referred to sometimes as simply the Ark of Yahweh, the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, the Ark of the Testimony. 200 times in the Old Testament, twice in the New Testament, Revelation and Hebrews. In Deuteronomy 10, Moses instructed Bezalel, the craftsman, to make this chest, and two stone tablets with the Ten Commandments were in it. Throughout the wilderness wanderings, this became a symbol of the presence of God, in the same way that the glory would visit the tabernacle. The ark was like a portable throne where King Yahweh would sit among his people. If you remember when they cross the Jordan River in Joshua 3 and 4, it's the ark that goes before them, the priest carrying it. And now the ark appears again in the sanctuary at Shiloh. It's been kind of obscure during this Judges period. There were two uses. There was a military use and a cultic use. It was meant to draw people to worship God, but now the Israelites use this as almost a talisman to bring out in battle. When they bring it into the camp, there's this shout that is so loud that it creates fear in the Philistines. And they're remembering the testimonies of what God had done to the Egyptians. Now, as they tell it through their worldview, the gods had done to the Egyptian gods. But this causes the Philistines to realize they don't want to lose their upper hand on Israel at that time. And so they charge on Israel, and the slaughter the second time is even greater. And the ark is captured, and Eli's sons die. The so what of this passage, or so many of them, is to remind ourselves that we don't want to treat the presence of the Lord kind of as a lucky charm or talisman. Jeremiah warns in his prophecy, you keep saying the temple, the temple, the temple, as if somehow God's situated place of dwelling is going to keep you from being taken away. The contemporary reality would be using the name of Jesus more as a magical formula than realizing that we express that name out of the relationship that's established, the authority. I remember the story of the sons of Sceva in Acts, that they use the name of Jesus against demons, but the demons respond, we know who Paul is and we know Jesus, but who are you? See, God can never be used as a lucky charm, as a gree-gree, as a talisman to get us to what we want. But now what is a reminder that relationship building is absolutely key. The presence of God we cannot manipulate, but it's in relationship building that we realize that presence. And so all that we do today, all the tasks, the most important thing is an alertness to the presence of the Lord in our lives. So Lord, we look towards you. Help us not to miss where you're interceding, and help us to continue to be faithful to establish our availability to your manifest presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.